What's up, guys? You're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We record episodes and interview the very best experts from around the world and cover topics relating to health, success, mindset, business, and even social issues. And each week, we give you some of the best advice and information on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review. Your elite life begins now.
On today's episode, episode number 321, entitled, How to Biohack Your Brain and Boost Your Cognitive Health, Performance, and Power, I chat with Dr. Kristen Willemeyer. Dr. Kristen Willemeyer is a neuroscientist, leading brain health strategist, and the author of the new book, Biohack Your Brain, How to Boost Cognitive Health, Performance, and Power. In today's episode, Dr. Kristen talks about how to keep your brain at its very best using a number of holistic approaches and techniques. She dives into her decades of work studying the brain on a cellular level and what she's learned by going deep under the hood of the most complex organ known to man. If you're wondering what steps you can take today to biohack your brain and help it perform at its very best, check this episode out now. You are going to love it. And guys, go to elitemindbook.com to order the single greatest self-help book ever written. If for some reason you haven't ordered this book yet, you're absolutely insane. But there is good news. This book can help you overcome your insanity. Actually, it helps you overcome anxiety, depression, confidence issues, and so much more. Again, elitemindbook.com. You're going to absolutely love the single greatest self-help book ever written, Elite Mind. Also, go to Elite Life Nutrition to get the best supplements in the world. We put our heart and soul into all of our supplements, and we are actually adding some new supplements in the upcoming weeks. I don't want to officially announce it just yet, but I will announce it in the upcoming episodes. We have some incredible new supplements coming onto the supplement line that you guys are going to absolutely love, including our many incredible supplements that are already up there at EliteLifeNutrition.com. Check out the reviews on Amazon. Check out the reviews on the site. Our customers absolutely love Elite Life Nutrition for a reason, because we do put the very best ingredients into every supplement product out there and do have the best supplement line, in my opinion, in the entire world. But I will let you decide for yourself. Go to EliteLifeNutrition.com. Check out our products right now. And the last thing I want to say is go to elitemanmagazine.com/YouTube and check out our YouTube channel. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't yet and check out our new videos coming out. We've already recorded a ton. We're recording some right now, and there's just going to be incredible amounts of content coming out in the upcoming weeks. So you're going to want to check that out. And also, we are doing a lot of video companion podcast episodes to this. So if you're one of those people who like seeing the video recording of the podcast episodes and not just listening to the audio, or if you want to just listen to podcasts, if you're someone who likes to listen to podcasts on YouTube as opposed to, say, Apple or Spotify, you can actually just get the podcast and see it. I actually have a visual of it, or just listen to it on YouTube as well, because we're going to start doing that as well. A lot of these podcasts are recorded, including this one, on YouTube, so you can check out the video on YouTube as well. So elitemanmagazine.com/YouTube. All right, guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenstrom from Elite Man Magazine, and my guest today is Dr. Kristen Willemeyer, the author of the new book, Biohack Your Brain, How to Boost Cognitive Health, Performance, and Power. Dr. Kristen, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Justin, pleasure to be here. You're looking good, my friend.
Thank you. You as well. Actually talked for about an hour before officially going on, and I'm going to go back, and we're doing this on video too for people who are just listening on the podcast audio, but I'm going to pull some of the clips that we talked about over the last hour, because we just had an incredible conversation about everything under the sun. We have some mutual friends as well. We talked about them, Dr. Mark Gordon, Andrew Marr, and Dr. Amon, who I don't know. And I've actually in the past tried to get him on the podcast, but I kind of, forgot about reaching back out to him and such. But I would love to get him on the podcast as well, because he's someone I've followed for years, as you know, and I'm a big fan of his work. And I hadn't known this until recently, or actually until today, but you used to work directly with him, and you were the research coordinator for the Amon clinics and all the stuff that he was doing. Is that right?
I was more than that. I was his director of research. So I ran all of our clinical neuroimaging studies. I was also the director of nutrition and nutraceutical. So I did all of the studies testing the efficacy of nutraceutical products using conventional brain imaging. And I was also the director of our outcome research. So the kind of patients that would come into our clinic tended to have 3 to 4 psychiatric diagnoses and are on 5 to 6 medications. So they would be coming to us to add clinical neuroimaging to help target and treat the disorders effectively. So another thing that I did was make sure that the thousands of patients that came into our clinics were happy and being well taken care of. So that was the outcome piece. So I wore many hats.
Yeah. And so this, and by the way, the SPEC scan was one of the things that stuck out with Dr. Amon's work. Were you one of the mm-hmm. people? And he did, when I used to read his books and see all these books behind me, there's a few of them that are his books, Change Your Brain, Change Your...
Take Your Life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Change Your Life. That was one of my mm-hmm. favorites. And, one of the things that stuck out though was the SPEC scans that he used to do and mm-hmm. and seeing the blood flow in the brain of how your brain actually functioned. And he had like all these scans and you could see, like, you could tell people that were alcoholics or drug yeah. addicts or people that had early dementia or people that had Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. You could actually see how the blood was flowing in their brain, how it was functioning through these SPEC scans, which I thought even many years back, probably close to a decade ago when he started doing this stuff, was like groundbreaking work. Were you part of that work?
He was doing that before I came to his clinic in 2009. And he really is a pioneer in the field, especially in the field of combining neuroimaging and psychiatry. And the goal in doing that work is to help target treatments to patients based on the neurobiological wiring of the brain. So as you said, SPECT stands for single photon emission computed tomography. It's a nuclear imaging study that looks at blood flow and activity patterns in the brain. So when we look at perfusion or regional cerebral blood flow, if we see low perfusion in the brain, which can come from exposure to toxic substances, alcohol, marijuana, from, you know, having gone through chemotherapy, there's chemo brain, having had traumatic brain injuries, all of that can cause low blood flow. So we can work to correct those imbalances, but then you look at what's going on inside of the brain, and those activity patterns can help us to see whether somebody's struggling with ADHD, anxiety, depression, the different types of depression, bipolar disorder. So it's really beautiful because you can use both of those to help, again, in the targeted treatment, either using nutraceuticals or medications. And the other thing that we started to do when I came on board was also electrical, looking at the electrical activity of the brain using quantitative EEG. So we could then combine the EEG results plus the functional imaging results from the SPECT scans, plus the neuropsychiatric assessments, you know, looking at, you know, anxiety, depression, quality of life, plus the neurocognitive assessments and a complete medical history. And that's really why I think the treatment outcomes have been so extraordinary in those who come to the Amon clinics, because we really take the time to look at the brain in multiple ways. Oh, let's add in the laboratory assessments as well.
Yeah, which are important yeah. as well. So, I mean, yeah. there's really no one else like you guys or like you were doing before mm-hmm. that does a whole comprehensive, you know, physical and looks under the hood at about all the parts of what's going on.
I love the way you put that. It is so comprehensive. To come for a full evaluation is usually a 3-day process. You know, we do 2 scans, one at baseline and one while somebody is doing what we call a Connors continuous performance test. So a test of focus and attention, which I know you're aware of. And then we will also do the EEG. So that's 3 different kinds of brain imaging, plus, you know, all of the other standardized neuropsychiatric and cognitive assessments. And we have each patient come and work with a historian. So they spend an hour to an hour and a half really giving a detailed history, psychiatric history, medical history. So by the time all of that data goes to the treating psychiatrist, that's a lot of information. And when you look at somebody, you know, working with a standard psychologist or psychiatrist, where maybe you have a short period of time or you're not able, I mean, we could also do laboratory assessments. You know, we have functional medicine doctors in all of the clinic locations. So we're now collecting that data and genetic assessments if need be. So it was as comprehensive as I had ever seen in a clinical setting.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah. And I probably, as I've talked to you before, I probably had like 90% of some of these tests, not all at once, but over the course of all these years, right, that I've been trying to, you know, as I talked to you about, figure out that brain neurological condition I had a couple of years back, which thankfully I've been able to overcome. But I've done a lot of these things, and, you know, the MRI, the one thing I didn't get was a SPECT scan. I tried to get that before I did the hyperbaric oxygen chamber, but they didn't, you know, insurance wouldn't do it or whatever. And it would have cost a fortune to try to get it done. So that's one thing I didn't get.
It's unfortunate that we didn't have you do a SPECT scan before the hyperbaric oxygen chamber, because that helps to grow new blood vessels in the brain. And SPECT is really a beautiful way to look at the efficacy of that treatment. You know, so you do a baseline SPECT, do 40 sessions of hyperbaric oxygen therapy, and then come back and do a follow-up. And I've seen some extraordinary results in patients that we've had go in who have either traumatic brain injuries, or some might be struggling with a mild cognitive impairment or a mild dementia. And if we see we need to improve blood flow, we'll write a prescription for them to get that done.
Yeah. Dr. Paul Hartsch was the guy who really started that.
We published with Paul.
He's an incredible guy. Really nice guy too.
He's amazing. Yeah. He's really one of the fathers of the hyperbaric oxygen therapy. What did you have it done for?
I had all these cognitive issues going on, and I actually thought, well, so the big thing with me was, years after I did all the boxing and all that stuff, the boxing was a big part of it for sure. And then one day I had this concussion. I was wrestling around with a friend. I also did wrestling too. And I was wrestling around. I caught a knee to the face, and that sent me to a post-concussion syndrome. Yes. For about 6 months, I couldn't, I had like a just brain fog and like severe, like draining of the energy and everything. And like the light sensitivity was crazy. So after that, I had like these weird cognitive things that just kind of, you know, exacerbated with time. And that, so it was right around that time I was experimenting with all kinds of stuff. And that's when I got the HBOT. I think I did like 20 plus sessions, and then I didn't get the SPECT scan, so I didn't know if it was really improving, and I didn't feel enough improvement to keep doing it. I'm sure it helped on some level, but I couldn't really, you know, justify
it.
And also it was very pricey at the time when, you know, this was like, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, like a long time. And at that time I couldn't really afford it as much.
I commend you for even doing 20 sessions and now, remembering, because I've read your book, Your Boxing History. It's really helpful. And it's great because it definitely brings down the inflammation in the brain, would help to grow new blood vessels. I mean, hyperbaric oxygen therapy has been shown to regulate up to 8,000 genes. It's helping to bring down the inflammation and improve stem cells. So stem cells will go wherever in the body that they're needed. So that investment in 20 sessions, I think, was really good for you. You know, while you may not be able to completely note the changes, you know, for the work we've done with professional athletes. So we use it a lot with our traumatic brain injury populations or military veterans, and it can really help with mood and sleep and improving cognitive function. So did you see it help with your brain fog at all? Did your brain fog improve?
So by that time, the post-concussion syndrome had already gotten better by taking supplements and getting more sleep. Mm-hmm. And with time anyways, it would kind of heal up on its own. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't really noticing it very much with that, but I didn't, you know, I just kind of took it as like a preemptive measure to make sure that my brain was going to be good afterwards. And I didn't notice a huge difference afterwards, but I, like you said, I know that it was doing some things.
Oh, I promise you it was. Helping your mitochondria function more efficiently, you know, oxygen is life for the brain and reducing the neuroinflammation. So I'm sure it's helped to correct some of the damage you had from your years of boxing.
I'm sure. I still want to invest in an actual chamber soon and get my own, but they're like $15,000-$20,000 for your own little chambers.
I actually like people going in and having, instead of getting their own, you know, chamber, unless you're an MMA fighter and, you know, you want to have one where you can just jump in. I feel that going into a facility where you can get the 100% partial pressure oxygen and go for the deep dive is going to be the smartest way to effectively take care of your brain function. But the sort of at-home chambers that you kind of zip yourself
in. The zip ones.
The zip one. And I don't want to say this incorrectly, but you'd have to do many more sessions to get the equivalent of what you can get going into a facility.
The atmosphere pressure just isn't there on the home ones, right? Was it like 1.3 atmospheres?
We want 1.3. So even in a regular setting, anywhere from 1.3 to 2.0 atmospheres is going to be great. I'm not sure that the at home can get you to that level. And I mean, remember, it's high pressure oxygen. It's flammable. I mean, there's a lot of safety precautions. Trust me.
That's true.
You want to go into a setting where all of that is controlled, right? That is flammable. You're talking to a girl whose dad was a firefighter. So I'm like, oh, please be careful. yes, I love that you did that. And it really, you know, goes to show how on the cutting edge even you were in getting this treated. Somebody must have recommended it to you.
I don't know where I came across that actually. I think I was like searching around on something and I came across TBI people doing it. It might even have been like Andrew Marr and some of his, you know what it was actually? It was Mark Gordon. It was his work with James Toney. I must've been searching on YouTube or something and that video popped up and I started listening to it. I'm like, oh, what the heck is this HBOT thing? And then I started researching that and I came across Harch's work and I had him on the show as well. And I'm like, this sounds really promising. There was a lot of new studies coming out with it. And I'm like, this is really helpful. That's how I got into that.
We started doing it. You know, we did our big NFL study in 2009 and we started having players go in and do hyperbaric oxygen therapy and looking at their before and after scans. And I actually went in with my player. So I've gone into the chambers flanked by two big NFL players watching The Departed. I remember, I think they picked that as the video. I'm like, okay,
great movie.
Is this really happening? Yeah. They're falling asleep next to me. I'm like, okay, I'm like locked in this chamber with these guys. Because trust me, if we're studying it and researching it, then I wanted to experience it myself. And, you know, I loved it. Well, and I'm a former competitive equestrian, so I've fallen off hundreds of times myself. And here I am in the brain imaging field. So, you know, my brain definitely appreciated having a little bit of hyperbaric oxygen therapy as well.
I'm sure it did. What do you do right now for yourself? I mean, because obviously to be a neuroscientist and to do this, you got to be pretty bright. You got to be pretty intelligent. And if you said, you know, like yourself, you fell off the horse probably hundreds of times. What did you do to avoid getting some of that traumatic brain injury and, you know, memory loss and that type of thing?
Well, it's funny, probably much like anybody who's playing football at the high school or collegiate level. I mean, I did this, you know, I started riding at the age of 7 and my trainer would put us on like ponies because, of course, I was a little kid and he would have us fall. He just put us on a lunge line and we'd go around a circle and he taught us how to fall, how to sort of tuck and roll. And that was just maybe for muscle memory. So we would just get comfortable with falling and not be afraid.
Yeah.
So no, I did that for 10 years straight competitively in the hunters and jumpers. So like I said, hundreds of impacts. So me working with professional athletes, I have such a connection and an empathy with them because I'm not only helping them to rehabilitate their brain function, but I felt it myself. When I was showing, when I would fall, I never ever remember having a problem with my brain or brain function or brain fog or, you know, any sort of post-concussion issue. But I will tell you, I had a fall in the show ring and my horse slipped and he stepped on my chest and my ribs punctured my lungs.
Oh my God.
Called the hemopneumothorax and, you know, was taken to the hospital and one of my lungs was filling up with blood. But in retrospect, you know, my head hit the ground too and nobody really looked to see how my brain function was because the critical organ that we needed to address was the lung. So it really wasn't until I started getting into the brain imaging field and, you know, really, this is 20 years ago, studying Parkinson's, working with Parkinson's patients, and everybody used to ask me, you know, how do we protect the brain? Is there a cure? And that's when I started to get very curious about natural ways to start taking care of the brain and protecting our brain health, not just understanding why neurons die in Parkinson's disease. So I studied a gene one of the genes called Parkin that's involved in the young onset form of Parkinson's. So Parkinson's disease before the age of 40. And I used to work with cells studying, you know, neurons in a dish and figuring out why they die and what sort of changes they made in synaptic connectivity. But that's really what started to get me fascinated by, wow, how do we take care of our brain health? How do we protect ourselves from the diseases of aging, the Parkinson's, the Alzheimer's? And so 20 years ago, I started to adopt really great brain health habits, which back then I was doing spirulina and green juicing and all kinds of things that are really sort of in the mainstream now. Yeah. But, you know, I was learning back then to keep the neurons in your brain alive and healthy. You know, they're metabolically active and they're always kicking off metabolic waste. So you have to make sure, you know, you're always washing them, right? So you want water and clean fluids. The nutrients that I would give them to help them stay alive were always in a little bit of a slightly alkaline media. So for some reason I learned back then, oh, you know, being in that sort of slightly alkaline state, which is the state we're in when we consume green leafy vegetables and have green juices and have the spirulinas. So I just caught on to that, you know, 2 decades ago and started doing it on my own. And then naturally over time, here I am, you know, doing research at the Amen Clinics where we're really studying, you know, nutraceuticals and dietary and lifestyle interventions that can successfully slow or reverse brain aging, especially in populations of people who have traumatic brain injury.
Yeah. What made you sort of go to the, because he's obviously a pioneer and he's not a typical psychiatrist, which is what's his background. What made you steer towards the non-conventional approach to neuroscience and healing the brain naturally?
You know, I don't know that I had actually planned that. You know, I spent 10 years over at UCLA, you know, getting a PhD, 2 master's degrees and a PhD. So the master's in physiological science, a master's and a PhD in neurobiology. I worked in a laboratory of neurogenetics over at Cedar. So I was very much a sort of cellular biologist, neurobiologist, understanding what happens at the level of the single cell, which is why I have such an appreciation of every neuron in your brain. I say is precious. And the things that we do every day, the things we eat and the fluids we consume, like, let's do what we can to protect those, because degenerative diseases happen in the brain 1 to 2 decades before you have a symptom. So here I am spending 10 years doing that. I ended up pivoting after I finished my postdoc, and I was introduced to the Amen Clinics and Daniel Amen just through a mutual friend. I was really, I like to think out of the box. I'm somewhat entrepreneurial and creative. And before going in and doing, you know, my graduate school work, I thought I was going to be a traditional MD. I worked with a surgeon in the operating room. I loved working with patients. So I'm sort of I should have done an MD PhD, but I just, you know, fell in love with the PhD part. And when I finished, I wanted to get back into the clinical setting and have an opportunity to connect with patients. And when I met Daniel, I'd sent an email to him and, you know, we had a meeting and he was looking for somebody to work in his clinic, but I actually didn't know where I would fit. I'm like, hey, I'm a traditional laboratory scientist. I dissect the brains of rats and mice. And, you know, I, you know, study genes for a living. And I didn't even know what kind of role I could have with him. And, you know, we met and it was a meeting of the minds. And he initially said, hey, you know, I want somebody to come here and help me show patients that nutraceuticals make a measurable change in brain function. So the first role that I took on was as a scientist running the scientific trials, evaluating the efficacy of these nutraceuticals on brain function. I'd already known working in the field of Parkinson's that a lot of Parkinson's patients would use some nutraceuticals to help support their brain health. So I was already looking at how we could use micronutrients, and it was more from a curiosity standpoint of anything. So Daniel offered that opportunity for me to do it as a scientist. And then I took on the role of director of research and running all the clinical trials. And what I loved about his approach is that it's sort of like first do no harm. So the people who come in, how can we help you? as naturally as possible. What are all of the tools, foundational tools we can give you to support your brain health and support your quality of life? Because, you know, I will tell you, and I don't know if you know this, but my father ended up getting Parkinson's. So I thought it was really fascinating that I did my PhD in the field of Parkinson's, and then my father ends up getting it in his 50s. He ended up passing away at 78 when they officially diagnosed him, because he had what we would call an essential tremor, just sort of a tremor. And over the course of decades, it got worse, and he turned into having a shuffling gait and falling problems. So we know it was probably essential tremor plus Parkinson's.
Sorry to hear that. My grandmother had it too, actually. She passed away about 5 years ago from it.
It's
about
so
the same
sorry.
Age though, too. She's probably about 75, 78, something like that.
And did she start having the tremors in her 50s, 60s?
Yeah. It got really bad towards the end too. Like really, she could barely walk or barely talk.
Oh,
you know?
That's so, I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry too. I mean, that's your father. It's, you know, obviously a little closer than a grandparent would be. So.
Well, it's all important. Well, not, I'll tell you, even working with the professional athletes, I have the NFL players seeing some of them now getting ALS and Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. So my areas of expertise, like everything's sort of merging now from what I studied at the cellular level, then having it hit me personally, and then going into a clinical setting where we start working with athletes. And trust me, there's more than athletes that come into the clinic. I was just running those trials and really focused on helping them reverse their brain aging. But you know, Dr. Amen really opened my eyes to how much power we have in the choices that we're making every single day, our dietary and lifestyle choices, and our nutraceutical choices. You'll read in the book, 20, 25 years ago, I didn't really believe in nutritional supplements. I thought, much like what you've written in your book, I just, you know, thought we could get everything from food naturally. And I thought maybe they were just, you know, it would be expensive urine, you know, and boy, has my, you know, my opinion on them has changed dramatically. And I've seen how beneficial proper nutrient support can be to supporting cellular function and healthy aging. And, you know, I know you are a big fan and you have your line, but it's when you can see it using neuroimaging, and you have, you know, clinical trials demonstrating it. It's, as somebody who's an analytical thinker like myself, very linear and analytical, and I like to see the hard data, much like Dr. Gordon, which is why we're close. It's really transformed the way I think about how we can care for our brain health. And working with Daniel's also shown me we have the power to change our brain, you know, right here in our own homes. And yes, we have really amazing tools in the clinical setting. We've got medications, we've got neurofeedback, we've got transcranial magnetic stimulation, we've got hyperbaric oxygen therapy chambers, we've got all kinds of brain interface gadgets that you can use to modulate brainwave function. So all of that is at our disposal. But imagine that you can take care of your brain health in a very measurable way at home and not have to, you know, those kind of treatments can be very expensive, as you've seen, even with hyperbarics, and not everybody's able to afford that. So I want people to understand that there's a lot more they can do than they realize.
Yeah.
And I know really, you know that. I know you know that.
There is a ton. There's absolutely a ton. There's a few, I want to dive more into the actual like 12 steps that you recommend that people can do right now to biohack their brain. I want to dive into that in a moment, but I do have a couple of side questions that you just sort of piqued my curiosity into. And that is, one of them is, how similar are rats or mice's brains to that of human beings? When you said you were studying mice and rats back in the day, what is the, because usually all these studies go through initially the, you know, the mice population, and they, you know, do all kinds of things and they test them that way. But how similar is it to an actual human brain? Do we all have the same setup and, you know, functions and parts of the brain?
The genetics is very, very similar, like 92 to 98%, you know, we share the genetic similarity. So it's great that we can understand diseases at the cellular level and test them, you know, in a cell culture dish or in an animal model before we go ahead and do it in humans. And it's really the appropriate way to run scientific studies. And, you know, so I'm a cell biologist at heart.
Caldera Lab has high-performance men's skincare, and it combines pharmaceutical-grade science, nature's purest and most potent ingredients, and sustainable business practices. They have a product called The Good, which is a clinically proven, multifunctional, non-toxic formula of 27 active botanicals meticulously infused over 4 weeks in an EcoCert Cosmos-certified facility. It's formulated with wild-harvested, non-GMO, and organic ingredients, and is a lightweight, all-in-one treatment designed to restore, nourish, and protect a man's skin. Caldera Lab is the first men's skincare in the USA to be certified by both EcoCert and Made Safe. I've tried The Good now for a number of weeks, and I absolutely love it. I gotta be honest, I wasn't quite sure if I'd love it because I'm not a huge skincare guy and I haven't taken a ton of different skincare products in the past. Although I've taken a few, I didn't really love the results I got with them. But after taking The Good for just a couple of days, I noticed almost right away how more refreshed and nourished and just overall better looking my skin felt and looked. The Good really is that good, and that's why I'm recommending it for you guys to take as well. It really is, in my personal opinion, the very best skincare product for men on the market. And by the way, GQ agrees with me as well. They call it the best natural face serum for men. So whether you're tackling dry skin, acne scars, wrinkles, or just want to do you and invest in healthier skin, kind of like me, this is the one product I recommend using. To try it right now, I'm telling you, you're going to absolutely love this serum. It is incredible. But for whatever reason, if you don't love it, there is a 100% risk-free guarantee. So if you don't love it, you can send it back and get a full refund. Right now, Caldera has a special offer for our audience. Receive 20% off your first Caldera Lab purchase of The Good. Go to calderalab.com and use discount code ELITEMAN, one word, all caps, at checkout. That's CALDERALAB.com and use the code ELITEMAN for 20% off your first order.
So the other question too that I was thinking of is, what are some of the nutraceuticals that you've studied that have helped with some of these conditions like Parkinson's that you've actually been able to see on a cellular level?
So I have a chapter in the book where I go into the nutraceuticals and I sort of give these layers of, you know, their basic things that I think everybody should take. You know, starting with a multivitamin. I mean, pretty much everybody could use a foundational multivitamin, multi-mineral. As I was saying, especially if you're over the age of 40, because that will help your body to produce the appropriate amount of neurotransmitters. And as we see, as people get older, neurotransmitter production can decline. We want to make sure we have, you know, foundational nutrients. So you've got multivitamins. You've got omega-3 fatty acids, which are essential to cell health and brain health. You know, your omega-3 fatty acids are literally responsible for neuronal growth, synaptic plasticity, cellular membrane fluidity and stability. And what that means is when your cell membranes are fluid, the receptors that sit in those cell membranes work more effectively, which means it's very helpful for people who have issues with anxiety and depression. That's why omega-3 fatty acids can be helpful for mood disorders. But even with brain aging, taking omega-3 fatty acids helps to continue to maintain brain volume. And given that the brain volume decreases by about 5% per decade after the age of 40, we want to do everything we can to maintain brain volume. So I love the omega-3s, and they're also anti-inflammatory. And pretty much every chronic disease of aging has an inflammatory component. I really love vitamin D. So I'll tell you, in the clinical setting, we can measure omega-3 fatty acids and we measure vitamin D levels. And those are two things that most people are deficient in. So for vitamin D, you know, when it comes to brain health, it's really important in managing mood, very helpful for people who struggle with depression, because vitamin D is important in helping to make serotonin. It's extraordinary for inflammatory diseases. And as we're seeing in COVID, a lot of people are now learning about the importance of taking care of vitamin D for their immune health. And vitamin D level has been found to be low in people with Alzheimer's. So making sure you take vitamin D 2000 IUs is sort of the basic level. Most people need 5000 IUs or greater. But again, I like to have people do laboratory testing just to be sure we're getting you in the right range. I love probiotics. Curcumin is an extraordinary anti-inflammatory neuro. It helps with neuroinflammation, and the research that's coming out in curcumin is extraordinary. So it can cross the blood-brain barrier. It can bind to the plaques that form and accumulate and lead to Alzheimer's disease. So I look at taking curcumin as an extraordinary prophylactic supplement. And it, as you look, it's from the root of the turmeric plant. In India, has some of the lowest incidence of Alzheimer's disease. What's great about curcumin too is there's research showing that it helps with mood and cognition. So those are all win-win-wins.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many more because I could ramble off all the things that we use in our clinical trials with football players. I mean, you've got everything from N-acetylcysteine, which is an extraordinary antioxidant, helps to create glutathione in the body. It's protective to the liver, but we sort of call it a super antioxidant. And when you're thinking about protecting your brain health, your brain, right, weighs 2% of your body's weight, but utilizes 20% of the body's energy. And it's really metabolically active. And that means it kicks off and generates a lot of free radicals, which can destroy cell membranes and get down to the DNA and impact your DNA. So we want as many antioxidants as we can. So you can get that through N-acetylcysteine. You can get that through alpha-lipoic acid, which is also an amazing antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, balances blood sugar. When we think about brain health, we want to keep your blood sugars balanced because there's a type 3. I know you've had Dale Bredesen on here. There's sort of a type 3 diabetes that can lead to Alzheimer's. So we want to make sure blood sugar levels are regulated. You've got acetyl L-carnitine, which is great. It's found in the mitochondria. It's important cellular energy, cellular energetics. So we like that as well. Ginkgo biloba and vinpocetine. Those are both two great nutraceuticals that help improve blood flow to the brain.
Yeah.
I could keep going.
I know you could keep going on and on. when you have done these studies though, what do you see? Like when you know these things work, cause we all know they work from an empirical sort of point of view, and functional medicine doctors, you know, they've been doing this for decades, and you know, they've known, and I'm sure Dr. Amen as well knew this stuff worked before you came along and sort of did the research to prove it worked. But what are you seeing in the research to actually prove that it works? Like, what are some of like those numbers?
Very good question. So, you know, the way it typically works is people will look in PubMed and see the peer-reviewed studies and say, this supplement works at this dosage to do this. And what I write about in the book in Biohack Your Brain, I talk about the supplements that we recommended for our professional athlete population, with the goal being to provide antioxidant support, to help boost blood flow to the brain, and to help improve the memory. So we used sort of a combination of nutraceuticals, not just one, but several of the ones that I just shared with you now, and I go into detail in the book. The readout for us was looking at changes in blood flow on brain scans. So number one, we do a baseline of a professional athlete. We put them on a suite of nutraceuticals, so a brain-directed multivitamin, an omega-3 fatty acid, right, N-acetylcysteine, acetyl L-carnitine, alpha-lipoic acid, huperzine A, which helps boost acetylcholine levels, neurotransmitter for memory, and vinpocetine and phosphatidylserine. So there's sort of suite of nutraceuticals, scan them 6 months later, and we're able to show improvements in cerebral blood flow, having taken these nutraceuticals at very specific dosages. And why that is important, as you're starting to learn with the scans, is blood flow is essential to maintaining healthy neuronal function. So if you know you can take these nutraceuticals for that period of time and show improvements in perfusion that can continue to last over time, that's a measurable change. And that's important because you start losing blood flow to the brain. Eventually, if you don't correct that, those are the areas of the brain where you lose neurons. Yeah. So we could show it from a perfusion standpoint. And then we were also able to show it using cognitive assessments. So we have tools called the MicroCog. So it's a sort of a general cognitive proficiency test where we can look at several domains, reasoning, memory, information processing, speed, reaction time, and go, here's where they were at baseline, and here's where they are 6 months or 12 months later. So in working in our clinical population, whether it's a research trial that we've published, or just working with our patients, we're always retesting. So we'll do your baseline, we'll test you at 6 months. We may have you come back in a year or 2 years. We may have you do a follow-up brain scan, or we may have you follow up with the neurocognitive assessments so we can see that your cognition is still improving. And it was those standardized measures where we knew, okay, here's the right dosages. These are the ones that are effective in working in our clinical population. And that's how I can come on here with certainty and start rattling off a lot of really powerful nutraceuticals that when taken consistently over time, that's one thing people have to realize is you usually need to be on them for a minimum of 3 months. And you have to look at what your end goal is. So in the populations that I was studying, if it's a traumatic brain injury population, I'm looking at, can we improve blood flow to the brain? Can we improve their sleep quality, stabilize their mood, right? Reduce inflammatory markers. So there's a whole host of things that we are looking to measure and change. But the same nutraceuticals that I was just rattling off to you for TBI population, we've also run clinical trials in healthy individuals who have beautifully perfused brains, and we're still able to show improvements in cerebral perfusion in those individuals. And we've published that as well. We've published, you know, you can look on PubMed or go on my website, you know, lots of papers in top tier peer reviewed journals showing the efficacy of these products. And even for me, as somebody who really wasn't certain that they were that effective in the brain, I was amazed to see, you know, the consistent use of a supplement can make those kind of changes. And another thing that we do in the clinical setting is the quantitative EEG, where we measure your brainwave activity. We can do a baseline and then try a nutraceutical supplement. So say you're struggling with anxiety, we can try something like a GABA to see in for you at this dosage, is it making a measurable change your brain function. So those are various ways that we can work sort of at the level of the individual person, because everybody's brain is different. Your brain is different than mine. You know, we are all unique. And I think that's one thing we all have to keep in mind when working with supplements. You know, as the director of nutrition and nutraceuticals, so I used to help tailor supplement protocols for our patients. And everything needed to be really tailored to their unique issues, the way their brains were wired, whether it's the functional imaging, the electrical imaging, their genetic psychiatric history. So a lot goes into it.
Yeah, that's incredible. What have you found? And I know we talked before about this too, but I'm a big fan of Anthony William. I know you actually like him as well.
And
you
kind of,
it's funny though, because you know, you go from such a scientific clinical background and looking into the data and, you know, all these numbers and figures. And then you have some guy who talks to a spirit and shares all this information. It's like, what the hell? This guy's, you know, full of shit. But he's not, because, you know, all the information he shares actually works. I mean, this stuff that he shared, and personally too. And by the way, I love the guy. I talk about him all the time, but it's because I love him and I believe in his work so much. His work really helped me and changed my life. But you also like the guy as well, and you're a fan of his stuff. What have you noticed? He's a big guy. He's a big proponent of heavy metals in the brain. Have you noticed anything with heavy metals? Have you done studies like that, looking into the brain of, say, Parkinson's patients and such, and figuring out like the root cause of what's going on there?
Well, many diseases have different etiologies. So having heavy metal exposure can definitely cause it. And I know Anthony talks about that. It can sort of gunk up the neurons and make them unable to communicate effectively with one another. So you have some degenerative diseases where you have just a loss of neurons in a specific regions of the brain. So for example, Parkinson's, you lose neurons in the substantia nigra, which are involved in voluntary movement. So by the time you have a symptom, you've probably lost 50 to 80% of those neurons. So, you know, when you're going in the doctor saying, you know, what can I do now? At that point, we're trying to just slow down the aging process or that accelerated degeneration, unless it's caused by something genetic. So there are genetic causes of both Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. But when it comes to the heavy metals, and I agree with him, I mean, we are already sort of bombarded with these toxic environments, right? Herbicides, pesticides, lead, copper, you know, from the water that we drink and going through the copper pipes. He's 100% right. You know, we always sort of have to be on, be thoughtful about detoxifying our body. And I think about this more because of my father, who had Parkinson's and was, you know, combat helicopter pilot in Vietnam. So probably exposed to Agent Orange and whatever fuel and whatever scents that come around from being a pilot for Pan American, you know, for another 30 years and a firefighter. So he's not only exposed to everything you and I are exposed to, but then asbestos and polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons. And we don't have Parkinson's in our family. There's no genetic link. So he ends up getting it. And I strongly feel that the environmental exposure played a strong contributing role for him. So when I think about detoxification protocols, I love what Anthony Williams recommends. And I was doing spirulina and green juicing, you know, 20 years ago. Yeah. I'm not quite sure when he came on the scene. You know, I know it's probably been since 2016, but, you know, he's right. It's about cleansing the body and keeping sort of clean things going through, right? I used to teach the football players in the group. I said, you know, I want everybody to do a green juice every single day. And we have similar philosophies, by the way, on caffeine. So I love how Anthony William, you know, recommends that people really reduce or not consume caffeine. From a clinical neuroimaging standpoint, you know, if you're coming in to get your brain scan, one of the things we always tell people is no caffeine, right? No caffeinated beverages, no sodas, no coffee, no chocolate, because that can constrict blood flow to the brain. So imagine, you know, here I am in this setting, and this is what we're telling all our patients. And then you've got Anthony William, and we're probably the only people who are saying that because people love the pain. And oh, sorry, Oscar is going to join us. People love their caffeine. So I love that he's recommending this because we want to help, you know, preserve our adrenal glands, right? That's where we get our energy. And I love how he's about teaching people how to get natural energy from the foods that they eat, not artificial energy from stimulating the body with caffeine. Yeah. And of course, I'm lucky. I've never had a cup of coffee in my life, nor have I had a cigarette. But my mom was very, you haven't either?
No, not even a glass. Really? Nope, not once. And everybody around me drinks coffee too, which is crazy.
You know how unusual we are? Like, I don't think there's many people out there. Now, my mom was very chic and she drank coffee and smoked. It was very like en vogue, you know, back in the day. And I used to, as a little child, make her coffee in the morning. Like, she taught me how to do the coffee maker. So I loved the smell of the beans, but I never gravitated towards it ever. Yeah. And so I think I really just appreciate Anthony William and what he's doing and his genuine desire to help people live healthier lives through changing, you know, they're very simple things to do. Yeah. But you see, it's the bad behaviors that we repeat consistently over the course of weeks, months, years, decades that's causing the issue. So like he's saying, the mercury, right, or the lead or the cadmium or the arsenic that just accumulates over time from the environmental exposures. You know, his goal is, hey, let's teach people how to live a really clean, healthy life and instill, you know, the good habits, the clean waters, the green juicing, as many green leafy vegetables and berries as we can get. And don't, you know, fruit is so important for our health. And, you know, I teach the Mediterranean style diet I taught it to our football players. I mean, I've been doing it for 10 years. It's something really easy for people to follow. And it's got the evidence that shows, you know, it not only helps reduce cardiovascular disease risk, and helps people, you know, get rid of metabolic syndrome, but it can actually reverse brain aging and prevent neurodegenerative diseases. So it's one of my favorites to follow, and it's very easy for people to do, and especially depending on their, you know, preferred style of eating. But within that, you've got to have 3 servings of green leafy vegetables a day. You have to at least have 1 serving of an orange colored vegetable with beta carotenes, and you need to have 2 servings of fruit per day. And those are foundational principles. And, you know, I know Anthony William is all about, we need more fruits, vegetables, you know, please don't be afraid. This should be a staple, yeah, you know, within our diet. And then we limit, you know, I recognize people, men love their meat and their red meat and their saturated fat, but, you know, we can turn the dial down on that, and we can, you know, help reduce that consumption to 1 per day. Or, yeah, you know, I don't really eat meat, but I live with a meat eating man. So I understand that, you know, people need it, but if we can shift to helping people understand why the saturated fats are bad, they integrate into the cell membranes and they don't allow cell membranes to be fluid and flexible. So remember, I was talking about the omega-3s,
yeah,
those monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fats allow for that membrane fluidity. When you have the saturated fats from the animal meats, you don't have that as much. So again, the receptors won't work. And especially the trans fats, those are the worst. So it's, you can take the things that Anthony William is teaching and kind of really look at it from the level of the single cell and go, oh, or the neuron and go, oh, this is what he's doing. And he's trying to explain to people, hey, when neurons communicate with one another, one neuron can make connections with 10,000 other neurons, one single neuron. And that's extraordinary. So here we have 86 billion neurons. You know, and I say every neuron is precious. Why? Because it's, you know, connecting with thousands of its neighbors. And Anthony's basically saying, when the heavy metals that we consume, you know, if we can't help to gently cleanse them and sort of chelate them and gently cleanse them and help them to get out of the body over the course of, you know, years, decades, you know, they just accumulate and we can't get rid of them. And then they lead to these diseases of aging. And the neurons that get lost tend to be the sort of more vulnerable population. So for example, in Alzheimer's, you lose neurons in the hippocampus. That seems to be the region that's most vulnerable. If your hippocampus starts shrinking and getting small, that's the region of the brain that literally takes everything that we learn during the day. And at night, it converts it into our long-term memories and stores it throughout the brain. So if that center is shrinking with age, and you know, you have these heavy metal exposures that are sort of causing it to shrink in volume, and the inability for the neurons to communicate, you're going to have memory problems and mild cognitive impairment. And I think that's what a lot of people, you know, start to get afraid of when they hit their 5th and 6th decade of life.
Yeah. Well, interesting thing too. I remember when I interviewed Dr. Bredesen and some of the other people I've talked to over the years about, you know, like the tau, he was Alzheimer's, but the tau, yep, protein buildup and, you know, the beta amyloid and all those ones. Yep. And everyone thought for years, and many still do, I believe, that, you know, sort of conventional theory that that is the cause of the problems to Parkinson's, Alzheimer's or whatever. Yeah. But it's really just a symptom of like a self-defense sort of mechanism of the brain to sort of fight off and whatever is really causing the issues that are happening, right?
Well, the brain is always working for you. Your whole body is always working for you to try and protect and compensate for some of the bad habits that, yeah, we do knowingly or unknowingly, right? Knowingly might be too much alcohol use or smoking, but unknowingly, I mean, sometimes we're eating foods that have pesticides and we don't really realize what that's doing to our brain. And like what Dr. Bredesen was saying, the cells, we have this sort of cellular garbage disposal system, the ubiquitin proteasome system. Proteasome helps to break down the garbage in the cells. If those mechanisms are not working well in the cell, the debris starts to accumulate intracellularly and extracellularly. So it's just, you know, sort of simply put, like the cell will try to live as long as it can. It'll congregate and sort of sequester it in a little part of the cell so it can keep working. But over time, if we don't change whatever behavior we're doing that's causing this, that's leading to the accumulation of the toxic proteins, whether it's intracellularly or extracellularly, for example, the heavy metals, again, you know, coming along and being stored in the neurons and impacting the way a neuron can communicate with one another, you know, then you're going to have the classic symptoms, the brain fog, the memory lapses, and the things that we tend to see is in people as they age.
Yeah, it's incredible.
So it's the, you know, I know you do the 3-6-9, the detoxification, the spirulina, the water, all of that is so helpful and all of it matters because it just, those great habits over time, it's like helping the brain to wash and clear this stuff away and correcting your sleep habits, because we know at night when we sleep, we've got the lymphatic system in the brain, which is like our lymphatic system that helps to clear away the cellular debris. And it really goes on high and sort of you're able to flush things out more when you're sleeping. So I know if you've got young guys who are listening to this, who are still in college, I know when I was in college, I would stay up all night. You know, nobody was teaching me that if I stayed up all night, it wouldn't help clear away this debris. But it really goes to show there's a lot of things that we can do that can help to, you know, keep our brains functioning healthy.
Yeah. Well, you talk about 12 of them in the book. What are some of the ones that we haven't mentioned yet? I know supplements are in the book. I'm sure sleep is in there.
We talk about supplements,
diet,
sleep, you know, regulating sugar levels. I mean, I have, you know, some of my favorites, again, when teaching people about how to be healthy, the American Heart Association has literally set guidelines that women should have no more than 25 grams of sugar per day, men no more than 36 grams of sugar per day. If you charted out the foods that you're eating, if you journaled, you would see most people eat about 70 to 90 grams per day or more. I mean, if you're starting to drink soda. So teaching people about being mindful of their sugar consumption is really helpful. So when I work with people, it's about, you know, can we get them on the Mediterranean diet? Can we get them eating 3 servings, you know, of green leafy vegetables a day and 2 fruits? Can I get more fiber into your diet, right? 33 grams of fiber for the microbiome. Can we look at doing things to take care of your gut-brain axis? Because your microbiome is really important, right? You've got the gut-brain axis, everything that's going on in your gut can influence your brain health. So I go into that. I talk about intermittent fasting and how we can use that to help support our brain health. I go into stress reduction practices and supplements. So cognitive brain training. There's a lot of great things people can do.
And with regard to the intermittent fasting, how do you approach that? Do you recommend people do that all the time? Do you recommend they do it periodically? You know, what was it before? It was like a window of like 8 hours of eating and then 12 or you know, whatever, 14 hours or whatever. It'd be 16 hours. Sorry, I can't even get the math right. But 16 hours of like non-eating and overnight type of thing. Is that something you do regularly or something you tell your patients to do regularly or is just kind of like periodically doing it?
So here's what I like. When I talk about intermittent fasting, I actually like people to do 12 on and 12 off because I think that matches the natural sort of rhythm of like the day-night cycle. So that's, you know, easy enough for most people to do. Because when you really get into intermittent fasting, if you're going to restrict your food eating to an 8-hour window, we also have to be careful of people who are diabetics and are on blood pressure medications. There's actually a lot that goes into it. And I want people to work with their physicians if they're going to shrink it down to an 8-hour window of only eating food between that time point. But I like the 12-hour fasting. So And that can go into alignment with healthy sleep function. So I want all of my clients to get 7 to 8 hours of continuous sleep. And one of the best sleep hygiene hacks, I'm sure you've had people on here talking about this, is to not eat 3 hours before bedtime because the foods you eat sort of digest over the course of hours. And unless you're eating really light before you go to bed, having just a single piece of fruit or some really light snack, a lot of times the proteins are heavier and harder to digest and they'll wake you up during your sleep. So Imagine if I'm having you sleep 8 hours and I'm having you stop eating 3 hours before you go to bed, you've really kind of hit that 12 hour, you know, you're close to 12 hours of no eating. So you can get up in the morning and have, you know, a water with lemon, a green juice, right? Whatever you need to get yourself going. So when I talk about intermittent fasting, I really like the 12 and 12, but you know, those people who want to get into the more that 8 hour window, you could do that. I like people to sort of work with their clinician to figure out what works best for them. Because you have to be careful with the medical issues, but it's great because intermittent fasting, even as a 12 hour window, can help stabilize blood glucose levels, can help increase levels of brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which we need to grow brain volume in the hippocampus, can increase levels of human growth hormone, can help regulate blood pressure, lower inflammation. Because again, a lot of the foods that we're eating, especially if you talk to Anthony William, can be inflammatory. So you give your body that time to be in a space which doesn't have you're not putting anything in it that's inflammatory, and it's giving the body time to compensate and heal.
Yeah. The whole autophagy thing and, you know, trusting to bring it up. And yeah, that's a big one especially for people that have, I think Bredesen was like a big mm-hmm. proponent of that too. Guys who have, or people that have early, Alzheimer's or even mild cognitive impairment, like making sure you're doing that type of thing where your brain can rest up and you're not like having it constantly have to work all the time and just sort of giving it that break, right?
Yeah, you're not having to metabolize foods. You know, your brain is already really metabolically active and then you're putting foods in. Now, if you're eating more of the Anthony Williams style, which is he's anti-inflammatory, and you're doing, you know, celery juice twice a day, and you're having your water, and you're having your detox smoothie, and you're having your spirulina, and your really clean supplements, and you're probably not eating a lot of saturated fats for meat, you know, that's an anti-inflammatory diet. So that's the way to go. But we know most of the population is eating the standard American diet, which is very different. It's very high in fat and sugar and trans fat. So, you know, when I'm working to what I call sort of unwind some of the habits that aren't serving people, I like to help bring down their caffeine consumption to a cup of coffee a day, right? That's 300 milligrams of caffeine, making sure you have it before 3 p.m. or eliminating it or switching you to a green tea if you really need it. But like you and I, we don't have it at all.
Yeah.
And I wake up every morning with energy. I've never needed, you know, anything caffeinated for energy. So we do that. We bring down the alcohol, not only because that'll help, you know, help your liver, but it's not great for your brain health, you know, and we reduce the trans fats and the saturated fats and the processed foods. So I really try to get people off of packaged foods. Yeah. And try to get them to eat clean, whole, organic. And I know we say it, but you start to feel better. Your taste buds change, the kind of foods that you want change. But the great side effect of being healthy and eating clean is you lose weight. You know, you start to get your body mass index into that really healthy level. And, you know, if you've read any of our studies, so we've published studies on what excess weight does to brain function.
Yeah.
You know, it can damage the prefrontal cortex, or we saw in our pro athletes that were overweight, damaged the temporal lobes and prefrontal cortex. So we want to help keep people brain fit and healthy.
Yeah. You said too, like before, like it was like a brain diet type of thing. And I'm curious, what are your thoughts on, and you know, people, I feel like make it, especially nowadays with this sort of overconsumption of information. It's like, you know, too much information that people make it a lot more complicated than I think it really has to be as far as losing weight goes. And they try all these like fad diets and these new things that come up. But I'm curious to hear your thoughts on keto and the whole ketogenic movement.
You know, I'm happy that you brought that up. My husband is actually on keto, currently because of the medical issue that he's going through. So ketogenic diet can be very helpful for people who have epilepsy or some kind of sort of nerve conditions that the clinical research has shown that's very helpful for that. I do think that's a personal choice. you know, the success with the ketogenic diet, and, you know, we've used it for people who have mild cognitive impairment and Alzheimer's. One of the most important things is that you start to clean up all the sugars and get rid of the sugars in your diet. So the number of carbs you eat is so low, and everybody's different, by the way. Like, there is no one kind of ketogenic diet. So if you really want to follow it, I recommend people work with a nutritionist to help. You know, a ketogenic diet for somebody in their 80s with mild cognitive impairment is very different from somebody in their 20s with a seizure disorder. But, you know, and I know people are doing it to help support their brain health. I mean, I'm, you know, listening to what's going on in the community. And sort of my response to that is the evidence in the peer-reviewed literature is so strong in the Mediterranean and MIND diet, slowing down and reversing neurodegenerative decline. I always go to that as sort of my go-to brain health diet. But, you know, for people who want to try ketogenic diet, you know, I'm a little bit like Anthony Williams. I'm going to say I'm going to be agnostic, because everybody's medical situation is unique, and I have a lot of empathy for people. What I will say is, if you do ketogenic diet, I think it's really smart to get your blood work done, right? Have some baseline labs. Then at 3 months, maybe you want to do follow-up baseline labs, make sure, you know, everything looks good, your blood glucose, hemoglobin A1C, your lipid profile. So I would do it that way, just so you're being smart and mindful and making sure that you're not impacting your liver in any negative way. I mean, there's a lot of fats that are being processed.
That's kind of how I feel about it too. I actually did it for 3 months and felt great for the first month and then horrible after that. So I had to get off of it and switched over to the one that worked for me. But, you know, for some people, they swear by it. And, you know, maybe for your husband, it works great for his condition specifically. And, you know, there's certain things that it can probably help with, I'm sure. But I think it is a lot of pressure on your liver. You know, having to overwork the liver and get a lot of things out, especially when we're talking about what we were talking about earlier, where it has to cleanse out a lot of these toxins in your system anyways, that we're sort of overburdened by on a daily basis. Now you're throwing all this high fat into it. It's like really putting a lot of work on that thing.
and the thing about the ketogenic diet that I would say I get most concerned about is that you don't take in any fruits. And, you know, sort of our highest antioxidants are found in, as you know, the wild blueberries, the acai berries, the raspberries, mulberries. Mm. So, you know, and in the research literature, it shows that berries and green leafy vegetables are the two things that can help slow down brain aging. So I really think people might want to think about, if we want to see what the research literature is supporting in terms of overall long-term brain health, we want all of the high antioxidant foods, and we want them as much as possible. And I don't think on a ketogenic diet, you could do the green juicing, which I think is really, essential.
You could probably do some of the greens individually, but I don't think the whole juicing.
You can do the greens individually, because I cook Mediterranean, but now that my husband's doing keto, there's no grains. And pretty much I just do vegetables and a fish, or vegetables and chicken. And, you know, we're very mindful of that, but I'm still a fruit eater and a juicer. So I'm doing all of my greens, and I feel like the greens and the beta carotenes. I mean, the one thing on the ketogenic diet, there's too much sugar in all of the root vegetables. So your yams and your sweet potatoes and your carrots and all of those are really important to your brain function. So I don't know, maybe if you were doing keto, you try it, then you take a break. It's really important that you take a break. So get some of those high antioxidant foods back into your system, and, you know, do what resonates with you. You know, I know a lot of people love it. And so I'm going to allow people to have the option to do what they feel is best for their body.
True. Yeah. I like that. It's a good take on it. What else are you recommending in the last like few steps of the book of, some of the things that people can do right now, even if they don't have an actual brain or chronic neurological disease or anything like that, but just to improve their brain right now, to biohack it.
You know what I love? So I'm all about brain training as well and new learning. And one of the fun things that I do, and I write about it in the book, is every day I learn a new word a day. And then I practice writing it with my non-dominant hand. And then you try to teach it to somebody else. So I love new learning, right? You've got to learn something that's out of your comfort zone. So for me, new learning can't just be reading more research articles. I already know that, right? So it could be reading a book or, playing a brain game or just engaging in something that's different that keeps your mind sharp. And so, we always talk about all of these great things to do to biohack your brain, right? There's fitness too. I mean, there's so many things you could do with exercise, but we know all of those things. I want to remind people as they age to stay cognitively active. A really cool study was published showing that adults who learn a new language can slow brain aging by as much as 4.5 years. So I guess as a parting thought, don't underestimate the power of new learning to keep your brain sharp. And one thing that I've shared with people on podcasts, because I just think this is so cool, is, you know, the actress Betty White?
Yeah. She 100 something.
She just turned 99 and she comes and visits our building. So I've seen her downstairs and she's beautiful and radiant and she's 99. So I read this article that somebody interviewed her and was like, what's the secret to aging, right? What, you know, how do you stay so sharp? And she said, I'm really thankful that I have a great agent that keeps giving me new scripts. So this woman is booking jobs.
Wow.
At 99 years old. And mind you, she's memorizing scripts. So she has been training her brain to learn how to memorize and learn things and be ready. And, you know, in her other piece of advice, which I thought was really cool, is not to sweat the small stuff, stay optimistic, laugh. Like, she doesn't really think about her past. She just looks forward. And so if I were to give people just some parting thoughts, because yes, we know diet, exercise, sleep, yada, yada, yada. We talk about all of this. And, you know, I wrote the book because I wanted to give people the blueprint of what we've done in the clinical setting, what's worked, what we've put in the peer-reviewed literature, you know, showing that we can make measurable changes in brain function. But I feel like it's a great close. It's just go, you know, we have people like Betty White who are out there learning and memorizing and still working and booking jobs at 99. It's great. Like, okay, if she doesn't know the secret, I don't know who knows it. So, you know, I want to also sort of acknowledge and admire, you know, her tenacity to keep going and keep learning. So I really feel like I want to put that out there. Like, let's not let our culture of social media and Twitter, you know, we become a little more, I think, robotic because we're just so drawn to our phones and it gets us out of doing, you know, going out in nature and just, you know, going for hikes or picking up a new sport. Or, you know, one of the new things I want to do is we've got a place in Palm Springs and it's really dark at night. It's causing me to just look up at the sky and I'm like, oh, I want to learn more about astronomy. It's just like, I'm sort of inspired to do that. And I'm like, oh, I've got to carve out some time now to do it. But it actually sounds like fun and it's different than what I do, you know, on a day-to-day basis. And I think creativity and inspiration comes from shaking up our normal routine, right? And doing something different. So I think I want to, you know, use that as just like a parting thought, like, you know, let's shake things up and try something different. And if it's, you know, learning the new word each day, I mean, I'm always learning new words. I'm a smart person, but Merriam-Webster, you know, keeps me on my toes. And this dictionary keeps, you know, teaching me new things. So I'm growing, right? Every single day I'm growing and learning and teaching it to other people. So
nice. That's awesome. So what's a place our listeners can check out your book? Can you hold it up for us too, by the way, for people on video?
Yes. It's Biohack Your Brain.
That is awesome. Great cover. I love it. That's an awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. It's similar to the Elite Mind cover, except it's blue. And there's no picture of you in the corner.
Let me hold up the two. Yeah, they actually look very good. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me show the Justin. So two brains on there. Yes. Thank you so much.
I can't wait to get my copy as well and just buzz through. I'm not a super fast reader like you are because you went right through that book, but I will definitely.
Well, yours is so good and engaging. Like how could, I couldn't put it down and I was laughing and I was like, oh my gosh, this guy's cool.
I'm a slow reader, but I promise I'm going to read it within the next few weeks. But where can our listeners check out your book and what's the last like little send off you want to just leave our Elite Man audience?
Okay, Elite Man audience, you can change your brain at any age. If I can help change the brains of professional football players so that they're healthier, happier, you can too. And I talk about it in Biohack Your Brain. There's lots of great stories of NFL players that I've worked with that I really want to help inspire you to do the things that we've done with them to take the best care of your brain health. Because you know what? You only get one, right? We can't replace it. We can't turn it in, you know, so we might as well start taking good care of it now.
And how do we check that book out? Is there a site or something that you want to send people
to? Yeah, so it is, you could go to my website, which is drwillemeyer.com. And I will spell that it's drwillemeyer. Or you could just go to Amazon. Type in Biohack Your Brain and Kristen and the book will come up, but it's really sold. So Amazon, your local bookstore.
Perfect. Yeah. We're going to link to both that drwillemeyer.com and then also the Amazon link too. I'll make sure I pull that up and they can just click on it. But Dr. Willmeyer, thanks again for coming on. I really do appreciate your time. And this is such a great interview and a chat even before the call was amazing as well. So thanks again. And I'll have to talk to you soon.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. Such a pleasure to be here, Justin. Thank you so much. And good luck to you with your book, your podcast. It's wonderful.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I'd like you to do. And that's this. Subscribe to our podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing to the podcast, you get every single episode the minute they're released. Get all of our Elite Man podcast episodes and all of our world-class advice absolutely free. Subscribe now if you haven't already and become an Elite Man today. And yes, if you do love the podcast, leave us an amazing review. We really do appreciate it.